ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In a tiny Victorian town, the football club isn't just a weekend ritual.
It's country footy, you get there really early, you leave late.
But then, one day, something happens.
In the back of a caravan, just over the road from this footy club.
Once I realised what was going to happen, it was not good.
And suddenly, everyone must pick a side.
I just felt angry. Those folks were meant to be my mates.
Hometown Boys, a new series by Background Briefing. Listen now on the ABC Listen app.
It's a busy time of year at Australian beaches. But given the string of shark attacks in New South Wales this week, should we be reconsidering our love for the ocean? Today, an expert in shark bite policy from Sydney Uni, Chris Pepin-Neff, on what led to the uptick in shark activity and what we should be doing to make swimmers and surfers safer. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Emergency services were called to Shark Beach near Vaucluse at about 4:30 p.m. following reports of a boy being bitten by a shark. Paramedics say he's received critical injuries to both legs.
A young surfer has escaped injury after a shark bit a chunk of his board on Sydney's northern beaches.
A man in his 20s suffered serious leg injuries at Manly late yesterday. The surfer is the latest in what authorities are describing as an unprecedented spate of attacks.
Probably not going to be surfing for a while. I don't think anybody will.
It's never been like this, so I feel like we need to really get onto it and start doing something about it, because yeah, it's too much.
The beaches are closed. The beaches are unsafe with these conditions.
Chris, it's pretty incredible, isn't it, what's going on? There were three shark attacks in about 26 hours in Sydney. Then there was another one just before lunchtime yesterday on the mid-north coast. Have we ever seen anything like this before?
No. Uh-huh. This is a unique and terrible set of events. But it really tells us that the environmental conditions are unique, and it's really important for everybody to stay out of the water until the swell clears, until the water clears up.
So what I want to do with you is first to look at each of these attacks. And of course, our hearts go out to everyone who's been involved in this, the victims, their families, the first responders. As you say, it's really, really awful. Now, the first attack occurred at a Sydney Harbour beach at Vaucluse. Now, that involved a 12-year-old boy who was actually jumping off rocks into the ocean, like so many teenagers do. What do we know about the conditions at the time and the shark involved in that case?
So following the really big rainstorms, we got about 125 millimeters of rain in a very short space of time. And in the harbor, if it's over 20 millimeters of rain, the level of bacteria is so high because of the fecal matter, because there's old pipes. So it's basically raw sewage that flushes into the harbor that attracts bait fish. And the bull sharks are already in the harbor, and then they're drawn to the bait fish. And it makes it very dangerous to be in the harbor immediately after a big storm. So it draws them closer to the surface, draws them more toward the inshore area. And again, we're talking about bull sharks here specifically. So it's just important to avoid the water at that time. And I think that is pretty close to what was going on at the unfortunate time that this young boy was in the water at Vaucluse.
And then, of course, the second attack happened less than 24 hours later. That was at Dee in the northern beaches of Sydney. Again, as you say, there'd been this incredibly heavy rain across the weekend. What do we know about that attack? And is the rain also a problem?
So the rain is a problem at both ocean beaches and the harbour beaches. So I think people often think that the ocean beach is different. It's not. There's still runoff. There's still waste that gets pushed out And the combination of murky water, the foamy water at an ocean beach, and the waste creates, again, bull shark type conditions where they're coming in and they're feeding. And because it's murky and foamy, bull sharks don't have great visibility in those conditions. So if they bump into something, they're going to bite it. And because bull sharks are a little bit smaller, it actually means in the shark world that they bite more, not less. So big sharks, you know, it's usually one bite and they run off. But bull sharks are biters, so they'll bite more often. And that's one of the telltale signs that a bull shark is involved, is that there's multiple bites.
Yeah.
So in the case at DY, though, it's important to note that it was the board that was bitten, not the person. There was no injury. But again, it's in that foamy water where the shark, you know, bumps into the board and takes a bite out of it.
The surfer in Manly, and that was the third attack on Monday evening, he was badly injured, of course. Now, was it a bull shark again? Because the shark alarm had actually gone off there during the afternoon due to a shark sighting, and the beach was actually closed because of pollution. So what do we know?
So I don't know the identity of that shark, but my scientific guess is that we're also talking about bull sharks, because again, those conditions, the foamy water, it would draw bull sharks in because they're excited.
Okay. And I presume these bull sharks are up and down the coast. Of course, we had that fourth attack on the mid-north coast. Luckily, though, that surfer didn't sustain any major injuries. But these bull sharks, there's a lot of them, are there, up and down the coast?
Well, so bull sharks are really temperamental to water temperature. So when we see clusters of shark bites like this, and again, this is the worst one I've ever seen anywhere in the world.
Oh, wow.
It is very serious and does, again, tell us that the beach conditions are what is playing the major role here. There's something going on environmentally in the water, and it really is the rainstorm that has stirred up this activity and provided excitement to the sharks that we need to now avoid.
All right. Well, Chris, a lot of people would be wondering at this point whether or not the beaches in Sydney and elsewhere, of course, across the country, are becoming more dangerous to swim in. Now, the New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, speaking on 2GB, he says that he thinks the state's warnings when sharks are more active could be bolstered.
So I think that probably our warning system and communication needs to be beefed up, particularly during stormy weather. What happens is bull sharks can identify food via silhouette. They do it by sight. In murky conditions, they might attack a human, whereas under normal circumstances, they wouldn't.
So what do you think about that? More warnings, I suppose.
I mean, I think that's correct, and I've been saying that for years, so I'm pleased to hear that he agrees with me. For a long time, the city of Sydney would post signs after a heavy rain to tell people about the bacteria in the harbor and not to swim in the harbor. And they'd put signs up on trees saying, you know, don't swim in the harbor for a few days because of the bacteria. And I think it's not obviously just the bacteria, it's the sharks. And one of the things that is a key part of that is making sure that people stay tied to that 72-hour window if it's an estuary, a harbor, or a bay, and a 24 to 48 hour if it's an ocean beach. Often what we see with the public is that, you know, it's summer in Sydney. If the next day is a nice day and the sky clears, people will go in the water, and they should not go in the water.
Now, there are shark alarms, aren't there? And many of those in Sydney, and they are sounded pretty regularly. But how effective is that system and how does it work?
So a shark alarm is usually based on something someone's seen, whether that's a drone or whether that's from the chair or from the tower. But the fact is that when you've got murky conditions, right, these foamy water, turbid water, brown water, you can't see anything below it. So the shark alarm's not going to work. So again, really important, A, not to swim in raw sewage, and B, not to swim when you can't use a drone or make sure that it's a clear area. So again, that 3 days is really important.
What about tagging and tracking them? Is that effective? They do that, but how effective is that as well?
Tagging and tracking can be effective, but not effective in the way that I think most people think. So A, because you can't tag all of them, it's not really effective as an early warning for a specific shark. But what it does do is if you tag enough of the sharks within a population, you can see the environmental trend. So maybe the sardines are coming through, or the water temperature is warmer and they all start drifting. And so based on the information you can get from tagging 20 or 25 or 100 sharks, you can get a better idea of the population of 500 sharks. So it does give you a lot of information.
All right. Then, of course, there's nets. They're quite controversial. Do we know if there were nets at these beaches where these attacks occurred? And I mean, how many of these nets are actually in place?
So this is a good question. So it's important to distinguish between net enclosures, which you would have in the harbor beaches. So these are low energy beaches. There's not big waves. There's not a lot of seaweed. So you can put something in the water permanently and just have it there for the whole year. And those are safe and those are great. The other kind of nets, which are the shark nets that we often talk about, are open on the top, open on the bottom, open on the sides. And those do not work, and they provide a false sense of security. Both at Manly and at DY, those are netted beaches. And I can't speak to whether there were nets in at the time that these incidents occurred, but they probably were. And there was a net in on the last fatality at DY. So we know specifically that the nets do not stop shark bites.
There has been debate, of course, whether they should be removed. Chris Min says they're here to stay now.
We obviously do have them in Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong. We've decided that we're keeping them despite the fact that there's pressure to remove them. The truth of the matter is we can't have a situation where they're removed and we have further shark attacks on major metropolitan beaches.
I think it provides politicians with a degree of safety to know that they're there. Shark nets catch turtles and other sharks and things, and then they flail in the net, which is like ringing the dinner bell for any sharks in the area. So there's a lot of evidence that shark nets make the beach more dangerous and can attract sharks toward the beach. And there's no scientific evidence over 100 years, not a single study, that demonstrates that shark nets reduce the risk.
All right. Well, Chris, as we mentioned, this is a very unprecedented time. Do you think at this point that enough is being done to protect people swimming in our beaches, or do we just need a really different approach now?
From my perspective, these are terrible events. What we need to be mindful of is that the ocean is a dynamic ecosystem. It is really inconvenient to tell people that the ocean changes every 10 minutes. I think part of this public education needs to take into account the fact that we need to treat the beach like the bush. You know, when Australians go into the bush, they have a very specific mindset. If you see a brown snake, you know you're in the wrong place. And there's been this kind of domestication of the beach, that the beach is safe and there are ways to make it safe. And any surf lifesaver will tell you that's false. It's not a zero-risk environment.
What about this idea from the former Prime Minister, Tony Abbott? He's a keen surfer himself. He actually thinks we should bring back commercial fishing of sharks. He says we can't put the protection of sharks ahead of the safety of people. A controversial view, I think that's safe to say.
I don't think any of us are putting the safety of sharks ahead of the safety of people. I will say that killing everything in the ocean is also not the solution. The ocean's a dynamic ecosystem. It's going to be dynamic whether we kill something or not. And setting up a fishery to harvest the sharks doesn't just catch the sharks. But the fact is also there are really reasonable things we could do. We could clean the pipes that are flushing the sewage and attracting the bull sharks into the harbor. We could tell the public not to swim for 3 days after a big storm. We could pay attention to water temperature. We don't do that. So that's three very tangible things that would make people safer today in Sydney. So I think we should be protecting people today, and that's my position.
And perhaps change our relationship with the ocean.
Australia is an ocean-loving nation, and we will be safer if we continue to educate ourselves about the ocean.
Chris Pepin-Neff is an Associate Professor of Public Policy at Sydney Uni and a shark bite policy expert. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.